Hey guys, I'm Eric McLane.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome in, everybody, and happy Monday here on the Gramlich and McLane podcast. I don't know if I speak for you, Eric McLane, but I'm a little tired today. There was a crazy game. We're recording this, of course, Sunday night. Crazy game Saturday night. Over 4 hours, double overtime. The game of the year in college football. Maybe one of the greatest college football games we've ever seen. I'm assuming that you may be a little tired as well, Eric McLane.
just a little bit, you know. Show went longer than we have in quite a while doing the huddle, and it was so fun just to be with Cornette and everybody listening. Fun, you just lost a game, but it was cool to just see that game and all the different things that it had. A true instant classic, number one, number four, double overtime, being down big if you're Clemson, roaring back. And then, Notre Dame capping it off there in double overtime to win the game. But it was intense. And like you said, Kelly, one of the best games I think I have ever witnessed, especially one involving Clemson. So it was a lot of fun. But before we get there, I want to just update everybody on the AP poll. Three top 10 teams for the ACC tied for most in the country. I tell y'all every week, this is a football conference. Notre Dame, number two. Clemson 4, and then Miami 9. Miami's hanging around, Kelly. They're right there.
We're going to talk about Miami today, for sure.
Yeah, back in the top 10 group text, as you like to say there, for Miami. So really good weekend of games.
Oh, Mac, you forgot Liberty is 22nd, and I've decided to add them to the ACC. Are you cool with that?
Oh, nice. That'd be a great addition. Them or Coastal, whichever team you want to go with. I think we can, take that addition for a 16th team.
We're going to talk about Liberty, Virginia Tech as well. I want to add North Carolina first in the receiving votes category. So
yeah,
they get a really good bounce back win over Duke, and then Wake Forest also still receiving votes.
And those two play this weekend. So you've got to think winner of that game going to be ranked in the AP top 25 next week.
Can't wait. As we always remind you guys, rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And we really appreciate that. Had a big week last week with Hunter Renfrow. Mac, do you want to give the people just a little tease about our guest coming up this week?
Yeah, a little bit of tease. So again, guys, we try to have our Wednesday guest, be relevant to a big game coming up with Notre Dame, number two team in the country, traveling to Boston College. The quarterback battle there, obviously, you guys know, Phil Jurkovec transferring from Notre Dame to Boston College. So we're going to bring in a quarterback to talk about this. Matt Hasselbeck played for the Seahawks forever, was with the Colts, and played at Boston College, obviously, when they were in the Big East. So we're excited to have him on, get some insight from him. He does a great job with the NFL, ESPN, covering things on Sundays. So can't wait for you guys to hear what he has to say about that matchup.
We are so pumped. And I think people sometimes forget he's a Boston College guy. So that's going to be a great conversation. And I'd love to ask him some NFL questions to Trevor Lawrence, some of the quarterbacks in the league. I think that's going to be really fun. Mac, before we just get to the X's and O's and breaking down Notre Dame, Clemson, and every which way, you brought up the AP poll. What did you think of Notre Dame moving up to two, not one? Alabama's one. And then what did you think of Clemson dropping to four and staying above Florida, who beat Georgia this weekend?
Yeah, that's how I had it in my top four that I put out right before the AP did there. So wasn't surprised. I knew that Notre Dame was going to make some big noise, and rightfully so. I think the nation should really up the respect for Notre Dame. Before this game, we had not seen them obviously tested speed-wise, and I know we're about to dive into a lot of that more, but I was very, very impressed with what I saw from Notre Dame. Think that they are a tremendous team all around, all three phases of the game. So was very impressed there. And then Clemson sliding to four, was not surprised by that at all. So I think they got it right, which at least for the top 10, we could go on and on about the back end of that and why people are ranked the way they are. But it was fun to see. But those college football playoff rankings, they're right on the horizon. And of course, the only ones that matter.
I did think it was interesting that Bama moved to one. And we don't have to spend forever on this, but Notre Dame just beat the number one team in the country. Yes, a banged up number one team in the country, but still, I would say Notre Dame's win over Clemson is currently better than Bama's win over Georgia, considering Georgia was blown out by Florida. I get Alabama always gets the benefit of the doubt. I understand, but is there a reason, Mac? Like, can you give me the main reason why Bama still won?
SEC. SEC. Yeah, that's okay. Why. Makes sense. It's just that common bias there. I think they certainly have an argument, and I 100% agree with you that Notre Dame has the best win in the country right now. There's no doubt about that. And really look like a very elite team. I know we just talked about it. It takes a while to get there, and it takes some other things to be in that category, like championships and consistency. But right now, the way that they're playing, it's at a very high level. So I think that there is certainly an argument for them to be number one. But Kelly, I get the bias. I know the bias. I had no expectations of Notre Dame being number one right now.
I agree. I just wanted to throw that out there. Some food for thought. All right.
For our man, Jordan Cornette, when you listen, call me when you hear this.
Cornette's going to be like, oh my gosh, look at Kelly and Mac, Notre Dame people. Number four, Notre Dame, 47. Number one, Clemson, 40 in double overtime. An absolutely epic college football game. It had everything. It had drama. It had highs and lows. It had crazy turnovers. It had field goal kickers kicking out of their mind. It had
college
fifth-year senior quarterback versus true freshman. It just craziness. Let's start with Notre Dame, because Notre Dame won this game, of course. And this is going to sound like a little bit of a knock, but I just need to talk this out with you, Mac. You and I were breaking down this game all week on the podcast and everywhere else that we talk about these games. And I did not see that Notre Dame was capable of what they did on Saturday from their film, from their previous six games. I just didn't think that they could put together a performance like that, because they hadn't this season against that kind of competition. But they were excellent, Mac. Their O-line, you think it's the best in the country. I'm right there with you. I think Alabama's is great, but you look at how Notre Dame's was tested against Clemson. Frankly, I was just blown away by how Notre Dame looked.
Yeah, I was too. And right there with you. Did not think that they had it, that complete of a game, that complete of a performance offensively. And like you just mentioned, it starts up front. It starts with that offensive line. One of the best in the country, if not number one. They did an amazing job, really all game long, run blocking, pass blocking. I was very impressed with how they switched things, how they targeted different things in the run game, how they switched games in the passing, stunts, attacks that Clemson threw at them. And that also led me straight to Kyren Williams, who played out of his mind. He had 140 yards total rushing there, three touchdowns. But most importantly, Kelly, what was so impactful, in my opinion, and not my opinion, it's a fact, sorry, what was his pass pro. I mean, that was the best I have ever seen from a running back, to literally sacrifice his body, pick up different stunts. I mean, blocking linemen at some points when he's switching off, or if there's a linebacker screaming in the A-gap that the center has to jump on, he's blocking these big defensive tackles. So he did an amazing job and was really, really impressed with what I saw from Kyren. And then, of course, all of that together leads me to Ian Book. I mean, all I could say was, wow, all night long. I didn't think that he had that in him. Now, of course, we've seen flashes, but just
not
consistently
that.
As we did.
We've not seen that.
Right.
Not against
exactly.
Number one
not
team
like
in the country, looking so confident. His receivers were making plays. And then Kyren Williams really helped him. I think that's something, we're going to talk about DJU, and DJU was excellent. But Clemson had no running game. Nothing.
Right.
And so Notre Dame, with their balance, it just felt like things were able to open up for Book, because Kyren Williams, from the first series of the game, when he took that run to the left, juked Nolan Turner out of his socks and scored, that really set the tone.
It really did. And again, anytime that you can have balance on offense, it just opens other things up. He threw four passes over 25 yards, darts, like beautiful bombs.
He had six of those coming into the game.
Yeah, exactly. So four in this game, it's not expected. We hadn't seen it before. But this is what we needed to see. Two really good games against Pitt, one of the highest regarded defenses in the country, and now Clemson, 300 yards total. This game, Kelly, he really sat in the pocket. That was something you and I mentioned a couple of different times. Trust your offensive line. The running back, as I mentioned, obviously made it much easier to have a personal protector right there with you. And that's what he did, and made some big plays over and over again. The confidence you mentioned, very impressive. I had not seen him play with that much confidence in the zone, swagger, whatever you want to call it. He had it. So offensively, very impressed. Defensively, extremely stout. You know, I think Kyle Hamilton, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, better than advertised. I mean, those guys are freaky. Kyle Hamilton had 9 tackles. They were all solo tackles. That's a safety. That, I mean, it was out of this world, Kelly. He was triggering so quickly to Travis. It was,
yep.
It was what I expected, but just better than I expected. Again, being the first time to see them against this type of speed, this type of talent, those two guys really shined. And then I mentioned it, Jeremiah, what he was able to do, led the team in tackles, had 2.5 tackles for loss, a sack, the forced fumble, fumble recovery, touchdown. I mean, just a freaky, freaky guy that is an excellent player. And it was such a fun matchup to watch those guys against this great talent and see them shine.
It was so much fun to watch just as a college football fan. I know Notre Dame fans were probably losing their minds because we've talked about this. You know, Notre Dame has struggled to win the big games. And so if you're a Notre Dame fan and you've been through all those losses to top 10 teams, you deserve that win on Saturday night. Let's talk about Clemson's. Now, look, Clemson still played pretty well, had every chance to win the game, up 33-26, not able to get a first down, got to punt it back, and Notre Dame scores. So even with all of Clemson's injuries, with the 3 fumbles, the Tigers had every chance to win the game. But Clemson, I think the main issue for Clemson was 34 rushing yards on 33 carries. That's Clemson's worst rushing performance since 2011. Mac, how do we make sense of the fact that we talk about balance? Notre Dame was balanced. That's one of the main reasons why they won this game. Clemson is just not looking balanced right now. They can't run it.
Yeah, and that's you look at these teams that they're playing. You look at Syracuse, you look at Boston College, and now Notre Dame. Since Miami, it's looked different, right? It's been a different-looking Clemson offense with the lack of balance. And why? Why is that? People are loading the box up. They're trying to take away Travis Etienne, and it's working. It's worked so far. He is such a special, dangerous player that, yes, he still is going to get his. He's still going to have fantastic plays. But when you have that much speed and you try to bring these exotic twists, all these different things, it makes it tough to do. It really does. And so you try to keep establishing it. Clemson ran the ball 33 times and averaged 1 yard per rush. That was absolutely mind-boggling to me. I knew that, you know, Notre Dame was going to have success in stopping the run. Had no clue that it was going to look like that. And you say why, the obviously loading the box, but also, you know, looking at the interior on the offensive line, looking at those guys, I think it's been disappointing to say the least. Now I'm going to go back and grade that film and really look at it from a player's perspective later tonight. And, you know, I'm going to critique it hard and I'm going to find out. You know, normally I just kind of buzz through film and look for tendencies, things like that. I'm going to actually go through this entire game and grade it out because I've heard so many people talking about this that it's hard to critique offensive line play live, especially when you don't understand the scheme, when you don't understand assignments. Maybe a tight end was supposed to help. The running back either or targeted the wrong guy, went the wrong way. All these different things can really affect what we think is on the offensive line. But like I said, Kelly, I'm going to get to the bottom of that and really dive into that. But really the biggest thing for Clemson was the turnovers. And the defensive/special team touchdowns, they finally caught up to Clemson. And it was something that they just couldn't quite overcome at the end of the game. Now, I know they had the lead and all that stuff. They fought back brilliantly. But in the end, you take those plays away, you win this game comfortably. And so it's just interesting enough to see that. Third down offensively, 27%, not good. Defensively, giving it up over 53%. You cannot beat top teams in the country performing that way. And so third down offense and defense has to improve, especially in these huge games like this. But a positive, you know, I'm not just going to sit here and tear down Clemson. A positive, DJ Uiagalelei is one of the best quarterbacks in the country, which is mind-blowing to say that, Kelly. Like right now, he could start probably anywhere else in the country.
Let me ask you this about DJU, because it's insane that Trevor and DJU are in that same quarterback room. Will DJU be the number one overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft.
I need to see more of him to quite make that statement.
Do we need to see more?
Just progression. He needs growth and, you know, doing more things.
He just passed for 450
right now. Think about it this way.
Notre Dame.
Right. Think about it this way. You don't have film. It's kind of like that first year success. Can you do it again? Type of thing. And you know, obviously seeing his growth and maturity, can you keep it up? Is it sustainable? Type things like that. Now, right off the screen, when you're looking at these two games, you know, 500 plus yards, 600, however many hundred yards he's at for two games, touchdowns, no turnovers, is remarkable. So it's easy to just say, yes, of course. But you've got to really break it down and see, is it sustainable? Is it something that he can do over time? Which, of course, he's going to get his opportunity this next year. But it's remarkable to see talent-wise where he is physically, mentally, his understanding of the offense. I mean, he threw for 66% completion rate, 439 yards on Notre Dame, on this, like, brilliant Notre Dame defense. Now, don't get me wrong. These aren't slouches over here. I just mentioned two guys who are elite. And this defense is, you know, one of the best in the country, if not right up to the best. Most ever on Notre Dame, 439 ever in the history of their program. Two touchdowns throwing. It should have been a third. Don't know how that one to Cornell Powell wasn't a touchdown. And then a rushing touchdown. So he is a major bright spot. He's a fantastic player. Quarterback play has not been a drop off at all. But I know Clemson fans, when they play in 2 weeks, they will be ready to see number 16 back at quarterback.
Okay, last question about the quarterbacks. I know we got to talk a little Miami, and sorry, Virginia Tech fans, we have to talk about that game. Just talent-wise, and I know you love Sam Howell, so we'll see where you go with this, and we're about to talk about Derek King. Talent-wise, are the two best quarterbacks in the ACC on Clemson's roster?
That's tough. I would say two of the top three. How about that? Because I still think Sam Howell is that good. He throws one of the, if not the best, deep ball in the country. And again, don't want to disrespect Derek either, what he did, and he's played lights out. So I'll say top five, actually. I'm going to extend it out, but he's that good.
Okay.
He's that
well,
good.
And you know, Ian Book just torched Clemson. So
right.
I mean, I don't know if we really want to put him in that discussion after this game, but he was just impressive. And that's the kind of moment. You're a senior, you've put in 5 years, you've lost a lot of games to ranked teams. That's the moment that goes down in Notre Dame history. I mean, people are going to be talking about that game, saying they were there when they probably weren't, because there weren't that many people there. People are going to be lying about that for years to come.
Forever. Back in my day, it was a bunch of students, all students. So, you know, the stories.
Let's transition from that, Mac. We're not going to talk about that. Okay. How about our next game in our big three? Our big three this week, every single one of these games was bonkers. No, number 11, Miami, 44, NC State, 41. This was Friday night. And we talked about with Miami, you specifically, Max, said, Miami's looked better offensively. I want to see Derek King continue to be able to throw that deep ball and connect with his wide receivers. I think he heard you. He threw for 430 and
that's
five
right. Come on.
Tutties, as you would say, 105 rushing yards. He was Miami's team. He willed them to a win.
There is no doubt about it. He has taken it to a completely different level these last two games. Kelly has connected unbelievably well, like historically well for his career on the deep ball these last two plays. He had 8 for 20+ yards down the field. At one point, you talk about accuracy and being zoned in, dialed in. He threw 10 passes in a row for 10 or more yards. Like, he's just throwing dimes, darts all over the field. And specifically looking at it, it's fourth quarter, 2nd and 18, game's on the line, you're down. And King throws an absolute dime in between three defenders, not one, not two, three, for a 35-yard gain. Couple of plays later, NC State goes cover zero. They're saying, hey, man-to-man, we're going to press you, we're going to be physical, and bringing the house on third down. He calmly stays in the pocket, throws a dart over the middle for 54-yard touchdown to go on and win the game. I mean, his composure, his leadership on and off the field. I mean, it's hard to imagine where Miami would be without this guy, like number 16 in a 15 team conference, probably. Cause again, leadership wise, just every time I hear him speak in an interview, it's just like, I love this guy. I mean, he is an awesome quarterback. I would love to play for him, play with him. Just a really, really fun guy, that just an amazing story. what's going to be interesting, Kelly, I've heard more and more people talking about this, is if he decides to come back, you know, because this year doesn't count. He's a senior. Does De'Aaron King decide to come back, get in just super rhythm with these wide receivers, go through a full spring, go through a full summer? I don't know. I really don't. EJ thinks no way. I don't know if he should consider it or not. Obviously, it's loaded classes with quarterbacks all the time. But it'll be interesting. If the ACC is lucky enough to get 2 years of King, it could be really, really cool.
We're campaigning for that here on Graham Lake and Mack Lane.
That's right.
With De'Aaron King, I actually asked Amari Rodgers about this on our radio show. I said, okay, he dapped up King at the end of the Clemson-Miami game. And I said, Amari, is De'Aaron King 5'10"? And Amari said, no. So
5'8 and a half.
Yeah, that's my main concern with King is, in kind of to your point, Mac, do you test the NFL waters where you would literally be the smallest quarterback in the league? You make Kyler Murray look tall. Or do you come back and say, let's just have one more run? Let's do some amazing things at Miami. And then I can test the waters. I don't know. I mean, if he's getting, it just depends on his draft rate and all that stuff. If he even is going to get drafted, I'm really not sure with his size.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Again, I think he has shown enough arm talent, you know, poise, the way the NFL is going. I get he's not your normal prospect when it comes to what NFL quarterbacks look like or in recent history, what you think about. But he is a guy that is just so special, so dynamic. And it'll be interesting, Kelly, to see the relationships that he's built, the love for Miami. What does all that look at? Because it's all going to come into play. And it'll be interesting to see if he decides to come back or not.
I am on the edge of my seat. And plus, Miami has a lot left to play for, Mac. Miami has one loss. Clemson has one loss. Notre Dame has zero losses.
Yeah.
Miami and Notre Dame do not play. So that makes it a little less intriguing. But North Carolina could play spoiler.
And North Carolina plays both of them.
Or North Carolina. Them.
So it could be crazy.
For sure.
It could be really crazy finish.
Speaking of crazy, Liberty... Number 25, Liberty, which they're now 22 in the poll. Beat Virginia Tech, 38-35. Khalil Herbert leaves the game after the opening kickoff. I think that's something that no one's really talking about. They just want the story to be, oh, Liberty beat Virginia Tech.
Right.
But Virginia Tech did not have their best player. Hendon Hooker still played really well, but you don't have Herbert. That was a huge factor. And then you just had the craziness at the end with Fuente calling the timeout. I feel so bad for Fuente because... how on earth were you supposed to predict? He's just trying to ice a kicker like people normally do.
Well, we'll start there since you just said that. Let me give you a little lesson in case you're ever a head coach one day, Kelly. Okay. 59-yard field goal. Just to ask you, you know, I know you're not a specialist at all. You're not a kicker. How do you think you have to kick a 59-yard field goal projection-wise?
Low.
Low. Okay. So why would you try to ice that if you know as a coach it has to be kicked low? And by the way, let me just throw this hint in there. Your entire program is known about this thing. It is known worldwide about this little thing called Beamer Ball, which is special team crazy plays.
Correct.
Why would you take that chance away from your team? And then what actually happened made it 10 times worse, where they actually blocked it. They actually scored a game-winning touchdown, and their coach actually ruined it all by calling a timeout. The biggest concern for me there, Kelly, is the fact that post game, it's like coach didn't understand that what he did was wrong. It was more of the timing of his timeout, not the fact that he even called a timeout. So I want to be really clear about that. Do not call a timeout ever, anybody listening to this, for a 55 plus yard field goal because the trajectory is low. You don't need to ice him. There's no reason to ice this guy. Go block the field goal. You know what I mean? It was wild.
I see what you're saying. But Fuente, I think what he was saying too was like, he's a big believer in icing the kicker because he says, normally I call the timeout earlier, blah, blah, blah. So that's just part of his belief system as a coach. But I get what you're saying too, Mac.
There's a little asterisk to all of our beliefs. There are certain situations where our beliefs are
exceptions
not,
to the rule.
There's always an exception to the rule. So we're there. We're past it. That ticked me off to see that. Let's talk about Malik Willis real quick, because he is a fantastic player. He's another guy. You talk about NFL potential. You know, is he going to be, does he have that? And to look at the throws that he was making, I was very impressed with that. He's a junior. He transferred from Auburn. So again, he had that talent coming out of high school and now playing at a very, very high level. Now, of course, I think it's going to be system and fit, of course, going to that next level. But he is a dynamic player that really, really has been hitting on all cylinders and a guy that is very, very special. So it was a lot of fun to watch him up close and personal against, again, this ACC caliber team. Beating two of them was really, really crazy to see.
It was insane. And I felt so bad for Virginia Tech as well, because you have the emotion of, we blocked this kick. We scored. We won. Can you even imagine?
No, I can't. And it has to be, you know, just mentally crushing. But really in the offense too, Kelly, just to talk about Virginia Tech a little bit more, I thought that they would be able to bully around Liberty's front seven, and they really didn't. You know, I know they had 200 total yards, but that was really Hooker kind of creating, not them moving people out of the way like we have seen them do up to this point. So it's been very eye-opening's the word. It was interesting enough that, you know, those guys up front did not take care of business the way I thought they would.
And they didn't have Herbert. So that is a factor, but I get what you're saying, because that Virginia Tech O-line is better than they looked versus Liberty. We know that. Okay, let's recap these three games in the speed round. One of these was pretty crazy, but actually I would say there were crazy elements to all three of these games. And that's kind of the theme of this past weekend. It was a really fun weekend of college football.
Every week. I love it. It's college football. It's here. We almost didn't have this. And it's delivered time and time again, Kelly. It's really been fun to watch.
Athlete, coach, craziness. You got to expect the crazy. North Carolina 56, Duke 24. I gave this out on the radio show, Mac. North Carolina is going to cover this easily. They're here to make a statement. UNC, coming into this Duke game, they had, what, 6 3-and-outs in 6 games? You're not going to slow them down. It's just a matter of they can't shoot themselves in the foot. And if you have a pretty good offense, their defense is suspect. But Duke doesn't have a pretty good offense. And UNC rolled quickly in this rivalry game. It was good to see North Carolina get back on track.
Yeah, they got up really, really fast. I mean, it was 42-10 at halftime and could have been a lot worse. I mean, they definitely pulled the dogs off. Could have been just an absolute bloodbath. But still, offense got rolling quickly. That's what they do. That's what they've done all year long. It was great to see the run game just explode, 338 yards. And our boy, Javonte Williams, is just, he's so good. And it's funny, we've had a lot of players in the ACC that have had these moments, but there's been some that are more consistent than not. Javonte Williams being one of them. Just a guy week in and week out steps up to the plate, does what he does best, and helps his team win. 150 yards, 3 touchdowns, was involved in the passing game. I mean, the North Carolina running backs, I said this very early on, maybe like week 2 or 3, are the best duo in the country. And now I've got Mac Brown saying it on national TV. So Mac, you're welcome. I saw this before anybody else. Those guys are good.
One Mac to another.
Yeah, exactly. One Mac to another. you're welcome for that. But UNC, fun team to watch. Have a lot in front of them. We just kind of hinted at it. You've got a tough schedule coming up, probably one of the hardest in the country. Just go take care of business, and all your goals are still right there in front of you.
If you run the ball, good things happen. We've learned that with a lot of these games that we've talked about today. Speaking of running the ball, Boston College beat Syracuse 16-13. This game was scary if you're a Boston College fan. The one positive, they did get David Bailey going, 25 carries for 125 yards. That's good. Overall, Mac, how much of this was that Clemson hangover, possibly, where you just played Clemson and you've got Notre Dame next week? Or are you legitimately concerned from this BC game?
No, it was 100% Clemson last week, Notre Dame next week. And we're right in the middle. And, you know, Syracuse is right here just, you know, clapping their hands saying, let's go. This is our chance. And it was good to see, you know, Boston College win this game. Now, of course, it was ugly. You didn't like it. Missed field goal, sloppy play, all kinds of stuff there. But ultimately, your team, you know, found a way to win. And that's what we talk about. That's how important, especially at this point in the season. I don't care what it looks like. The W is really all that matters right now. Now, you think of some teams who are just starting their season, Big Ten, Pac-12, they still need heavy style points. Right now, where the SEC and ACC are, and Big 12 even, they just need to win. You just need the best record possible right now. So again, Boston College, great job by doing that. David Bailey getting going. He loves going to the Dome. He's had like big running games every time he goes up there. And Boston College, for the first time, I don't think ever, I think they've done it way back in the day, first time winning three in a row in the Dome in quite a while. So a great feat, but man, you've got a big one coming this weekend. And I can't wait to dive into that with Matt Hasselbeck as we get him on Wednesday. And then on our Friday show.
Cannot wait. That's going to be a huge game, especially Clemson has a bye week. So a lot of focus on Notre Dame if they can continue to play well. And finally, in the speed round, Mac, Florida State. Pittsburgh beat Florida State 41-17. Florida State played three quarterbacks. Florida State, they were only down a touchdown at half. This was their second half. These were their drives. Interception, punt, 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 pick six, punt. Kenny Pickett played.
And I want to stop you right there. Coach Narduzzi, Okay. Could you have told us that? I could have ticks me off because I would have picked you guys. I would have been confident in picking you guys. And our whole show on Friday would have gone much differently. But you want to say, Kenny hasn't even, you know, walked on his broken ankle. So he's not going to play. Psych, he's dressed out and he's balling. So Kelly, it really ticked me off. I love Kenny Pickett. I wanted to know that he was playing. I would have got my jersey ready, all kinds of stuff. But he looked great. He went in there. He is that big of a difference maker for these guys. Again, FSU, three quarterbacks played, three quarterbacks threw a pick. It is a tough situation right now to be a Seminole offensively, defensively, special, whatever you want to call it. The entire team,
Everything. Things
have to change. Things have to happen. And again, I'm still confident in Mike Norvell. I think that he is the guy for the job. We just have to give him time. Nobody likes to do that. But we just have to sit back, relax, let him get his team, his culture, his things instilled. And then in 3 to 4 years, let's talk about it.
One reason why I did pick Pitt and Kenny Pickett, I didn't know Kenny Pickett was playing, but fade Florida State is kind of one of my rules currently. Just because, especially when you have a matchup like this, where you have Narduzzi, who's established his culture at Pitt. I trust Narduzzi. I trust him in this coaching matchup versus Norvell. I trust that Pittsburgh culture versus FSU's culture. That's what I think won out here, because this was a close game at halftime and Florida State just fell apart. Can I ask you very quickly about your guy, Kenny Pickett?
Yeah.
Is this guy a Sunday guy?
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know what? He's going to have the best career ever because he's going to play 12 years in the NFL, throw like 30 touchdowns and just be a great locker room guy, be a guy that is quarterback number two his whole life, and make tens of millions of dollars. And it's going to be fantastic. Now, do I think he can also take a couple of steps up in his game and actually be a Sunday starter? For sure. But as it is right now, and where he is progression-wise, I think that he surely is going to be a day three pick, but a guy that can grow, but more likely than not, you know, be kind of that backup, career backup.
There's a lot worse things in life than being a career backup in the NFL.
Oh, no. There's not too many things that are better in life, Kelly. That is like the job. Like when, you know, one day, hopefully we have kids, we have sons. That's what their career aspiration is going to be. Quarterback number two.
I love it. There you go, Mac. Mac's children will shoot for the stars.
That's right. And then golf after they're done. So it's going to be a great, great life.
Awesome. Well, this, like we said, this was a fun week to recap. We're going to have Matt Hasselbeck on Wednesday. We cannot wait for that episode. And then a lot of Notre Dame BC talk, North Carolina, of course, Miami, these teams that have some really big games. The top of the ACC is still pretty loaded up there. Wake Forest, sneaky, still looking pretty good. We'll get into all that the rest of this week.
No doubt about it. As always, this podcast is produced by our man, Richmond Weaver. Really appreciate him helping us out. And guys, thanks for listening. It was a fun weekend. It's going to be a really fun Wednesday, Friday show. Make sure you get back here. And if you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, drop us a rating, a review. Love hearing from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.